This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. We are a ranking-obsessed culture. We rank our college sports teams. We buy books that rank our colleges based on academics, social life, and affordability. We know every week the movie that topped the box office the previous weekend and the TV show that claimed the most viewers. And we love to rank history, too. The best this, the most monumental that. And there have been many rankings devoted to the best and worst presidents. If you start ranking historical figures, you'll likely gain the attention of our history doctor, Bill Smith. Bill has those presidential rankings on his mind. Welcome back, Bill.
Glad to be back.
This just in, Barack Obama is the worst president ever?
Or the best president ever, depending on who you ask. Again, no shock there. It's all about opinion. But for a man who won the Nobel Peace Prize in his first year in office, scoring just 15th, on the most recent scholarly survey, is a bit of a letdown. But that's okay, because we seem to have a new partisan media poll where he's dropping like a stone. This on the heels of several recent polls to remind us the last sitting president was one of the worst of all time.
Siena University has had a recent poll, have they not?
Well, full disclosure here, I've twice had the chance to present scholarly papers at Siena College, and they have become the most regular pollster of historians for these presidential rankings. And I know the co-directors, Thomas Kelly and Douglas Lonstrom. The most recent survey in 2010 gives us a bit of pause because you wonder if it's being done for attention for the poll. Now, that might seem quite unfair, but how does one judge a sitting president without a certain amount of bias, pro or con, only a year and a half into his first term?
Siena College has done these polls before on a somewhat regular basis.
Yes, yes. Kelly and Lonstrom have taken over from Arthur Schlesinger, the historian and former JFK advisor in the history world. Schlesinger made the first ever of these rankings of the opinion of historians as to who was the best or worst president back in 1948. He then repeated it in 62 and 96. Siena has done polls now in 82, 90, 94, 2002, and again, most recently, here in 2010.
You know, in the sports world, you have this all the time. Who was better, Barry Bonds or Babe Ruth, Willie Mays or Jimmy Fox? So what happens with these presidential polls?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer in scoring against the times in which a president served, looking at what we would call in the historical profession the zeitgeist or the time spirit. And it'll be no surprise to anyone that follows this segment that we're no big fans of presentism here, which is taking our times and viewing the efforts of a president against our current standards.
There is a level of difficulty that helps one, I think, sometimes get ranked high or low. Abraham Lincoln generally is at the very top of these polls. He had a divided nation and a civil war to deal with, which helped him rise to the top because he handled it the way he did.
Well, Bill Clinton might be one of the best examples of that. He is one of our more significant recent presidents, and if he had been called to serve under more challenging circumstances, he might be a pretty regular in the top 10. But a pretty good economy and an opposition Congress added up to reasonably easy two terms in office, historically speaking. He did what the people wanted, maintained the status quo. How different is he from, say, Calvin Coolidge, who had similar circumstances in the early 20s? But in a lot of polls, the score for each of these men is very wide apart, and they tend to be even more so in the media-driven polls.
So while it might not be something you want for the graying of your hair, in these historical polls, the old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times, comes to mind.
Exactly. It's no surprise that our crisis presidents, Washington, Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, are highly ranked, as well as our more activist presidents like Thomas Jefferson and Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay, you're going at least half a century back with all of those. What about our most two recent, Barack Obama and the second George Bush?
Anyone who tells you that it isn't about personal politics or personal point of view of how to look at these recent presidents in polls is, well, a presentist liar. They remain fashionable, not really historical, for at least a couple of decades before they can move back and be judged against those standards of time. You know, will Barack Obama become the Martin Van Buren of the 21st century, well-regarded by scholars who were surveyed by the likes of Arthur Schlesinger in 48 and 62, but now he's pretty routinely panned as a bottom-tier president, particularly in the more media-oriented surveys? Or will he become a William McKinley, a Republican who you can make a pretty significant argument for launching one of the more significant wars of choice, the Spanish-American War, and just sort of sits in the middle of the pack. Will George Bush become the Dwight Eisenhower, as many of his protagonists would like to say? Eisenhower, panned as 22nd in the early surveys, a third-tier president in the Schlesinger poll, but since has become a pretty regular top 10, top 15 pick. Time, and not the magazine, is the best sorting mechanism when we look back at these presidents.
Can you find some more recent examples of that?
Consider that three presidents of the 1960s era, a decade that is just starting to fade from the direct collective memory, and where JFK, LBJ, and Nixon stand in these rankings. All three of them widely fluctuate, extremely so for John F. Kennedy.
You alerted me some time ago about this sort of combination poll that takes all the polls and puts them together, sort of the BCS of presidential polls.
Yeah, this aggregation chart that I found on Wikipedia. And you know, the thing about Wikipedia is occasionally you're going to find really good mashups. And this is one where you can see the colors of all the polls over the years. And it's a real great comparison that reminds me of when you'd see the computer rankings for the bowl championship series and the various voters and how different presidents will flux up and down. It tends to show, though, the same rough top 10 and the same rough bottom 10 when you throw out what I would call distance bias. Start with the presidents that are outside of living memory of the U.S. historians, or generally people, and some consistent rankings begin to appear. This is that get it out of living memory, then you can begin to assess them.
How do these polls handle someone like William Henry Harrison? He was in office for a very short time before he died.
Well, to keep that BCS analogy going, maybe he's the Boise State of presidents, because he certainly didn't have a very long schedule. All of 32 days, dying from a cold that he purportedly contracted on his inauguration day. Garfield is a similar president. He served all of 200 days, and his assassination coming right in the middle. Now, his assassination is going to lead to considerable civil service reform that we enjoy today, but he spent most of his presidency lying in agonizing pain if physicians probed his gunshot wounds, 80 of his 200 days in office. So he wasn't exactly directing the country. When he scored, it's in the high 20s, low 30s. This is a president that really served barely half a year when you factor in his decline. Now, I'll give credit here to Schlesinger and in the media polls, Wall Street Journal. Both of them don't include either president in their ranking, because how do you rank a president who was barely inaugurated before he departed the White House?
This is interesting to historians. It's interesting to people who like rankings, myself included, but do you think that any president really cares where they fall in one of these polls?
I'm sure for their legacy, many presidents do, but I think that John F. Kennedy may have had the best advice for what really, in many ways, are publicity stunts. He told one historian working on a biography of his life, this is the quote from JFK, "No one has the right to grade a president, even poor James Buchanan, who has not sat in his chair, examined the mail and the information that came across his desk, and learned why he made those decisions."
And until we sit across from this desk the next time,
we're history.